So, tonight's topic is going to be quite spicy. I think it's one of those topics that usually we'll try to avoid doing, right?
Yeah, because it will reveal a lot of personal stuff.
Yeah, personal stuff, personal interests.
Yeah.
Right. So before we start today's episode, the first thing that we have to tell all of you guys is this. This is not an investment advice. Yeah. All right? Yeah. Number two, whatever that we are suggesting, not even suggesting, we are actually just telling you guys what are our thoughts of what we will do if we are going to invest 100,000 ringgit today.
Mm.
Which has nothing to do with you at all.
Mm.
So please don't go and make any investment decision after this.
Correct.
Yeah, can everyone agree on that? Yeah, please write yes in the comment. Yeah, if you write yes, then only we will continue. No, we'll just end this session today.
And make sure we do a print screen also. So if anything happens, we can show proof. Nah. See, everyone already agree.
Yeah. So none of this is investment advice. But I think it's really one of those episodes that it's that people probably really, really want to know actually. Mm. Like what we will really, really do. Right. Mm. But unfortunately, right, like maybe let's start with this thing. Why do we usually not want to talk about how we ourselves would exactly invest our money?
Okay. I think one of the biggest reasons is because me is me, you is you. And we have different risk appetite. We have different tolerance about how we can handle stress when it comes to investment. So by sharing a lot of personal stuff, right, then because this is a mass media, right? So whatever we say, a lot of people is tuning in to listen to it. Now, when we say something that is not in your favor and then you go and follow, if something goes wrong, then it becomes not very nice, right?
Yes, yeah. That's right.
So for this kind of investment advice, it's better for you to go and consult someone professional, because before they give you any advice, first they will do a KYC first. They will understand who you are, what is your financial position is, how much money you have to invest. And then based on that data, then they will come out with an investment plan for you. So that one is really for you. You can follow. Now, right now, we are talking to you with a screen in between us.
Yeah.
I don't know who you are and I don't know what is your financial situation. So it's not fair for me to say that whatever that we are going to share right here is something that's suitable for you.
That's right. Yeah. So whatever that we are talking about today really solely is going to be based on our personal opinion on what we are going to do based on our very own investment appetite, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and based on our own current situation, our financial ability, and our knowledge in what we know about the markets, right?
Yes.
But I guess number two is this, right? Let's say, for example, if I say that I will be investing in ABC, then what happens is someone take this particular section and cut the clip. And then they go and do promotion, right? Yeah, which happens to our account quite a lot. A lot of people post as Mr. Money TV. Mm. And then after that, they will actually go to and follow our followers and then ask them for money.
Yeah. And a lot of scammers.
Yeah, and some even, like, let's say they are trying to promote some sort of a stock workshop or whatnot. They cut our picture out and then after that, they cut our clips out and they go and do their own promotion.
Mm.
Yeah, like as if you're endorsing it, right?
True.
Yeah, so that's another dangerous part. Yeah.
If you find any scammy stuff online and things like that, maybe what you can do is to check with us first. You DM us and ask, hey, I've come across with this kind of messages. Did you guys send us this kind of things? If no, then please help us to report such accounts.
Yeah, that's right. I think number one itself, we won't ask you for money. Let's
correct.
Put it this way.
Correct.
Yeah, the only time we'll probably ask you for money is if you put up an Eventbrite and you're joining one session for sharing and you need to pay a ticket entry, $5, $10, that kind of stuff, right? Yeah, generally, they shouldn't be anything like that. Yeah. So now, let's not waste everyone's time. Let's go down into the topic itself, which is if we have 100,000 ringgit, what we would do. Now, firstly, I think it's very important that let's talk about our own investment perspective first, right? Our worldview of making money and investing in money first. So right. Frankie, maybe you want to share a little bit about yourself, right? Like, what is investment to you, firstly? Like, what is your purpose of investing?
Okay, purpose of investing is, of course, using my money to make more money. But my approach to investment could be very different from many people in the sense that Because before I even talk about investing, before that, there's a lot of homework done already in terms of I've set aside money for protection, I've set money aside for expenses and all that. So when I talk about investment, it's really the amount of money that if tomorrow goes to zero, it goes to zero. I'm just unfortunately.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. So in the office, right, you'll very often hear Frankie say this thing, I go all in. And when he say all in, right, sometimes he meant 500 ringgit. Okay?
No la.
Not so low la. Yeah, but I'm just giving an example, right? Yeah. Basically, it's really not all in. It is...
It's all in to the level of risk that I could take.
Yes.
That's my definition.
And it's the money that he don't mind losing until zero.
Correct.
That's his definition of all in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something that initially when he when he first joined us as well, and whenever he said, oh, I'm going to go all in, I'm going to go all in, right? Yeah. I was like, oh, really all in? Huh? You that confident? Huh?
Yeah.
And then after that, only I found out he's all in. The amount is actually very... It's a bearable amount. It's a very small amount he's actually talking about.
Yeah, because for some people, all in means selling your house, selling your car, and then really go all in.
I liquidate other kind of investment to go in, right?
Correct. That one may be a little bit not so responsible in terms of personal finance. So make sure you know what is your appetite and then you act accordingly.
When it comes to myself, my own investment perspective and how I look at it this way is this. I think that for me, investment is all about numbers driven.
Mm.
As long as number makes sense, then it's a good investment to me, right? Number two, more importantly, is my goals, right? What do I want to achieve out of this, right? For example, is it for children education? Is it for retirement? Is it for my millionaire fund? You know, whatever right? Mm. Yeah, because... I mean, if you think about it seriously, right? If I'm going to prepare for an education fund for my kid who's going to, let's say, a school, a private school, let's say, assuming 20,000, right? And I need it by next year. Then I wouldn't go invest in stock in it, right? Because it's a bit pointless.
Too risky,
right?
Yeah.
Unless I die want to send my kid to private school, I only have 1,000 ringgit in my pocket. I know that I will never be able to send him to private school. And this 1,000 ringgit doesn't change anything even if I send him to government school. And I do have extra another 1,000 ringgit to actually send him to government school. Then, okay lah, then it's a all in that sense, right?
Correct.
Yeah, then I need something that gives me the extra amount of return, right?
Yeah.
So I think the first thing to actually clarify is this. When you are investing, you need to have timeline in your mind and not everything requires you to fully maximize the numbers. Yeah, not everything. Yeah. For example, if you are going for retirement, you really need that money in the next 2 years, right? Then please don't go all in, you know, and like, oh, I need to have this and that, you know, that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. So please be very careful. Yeah. Please be very careful about it. Now, let's move on to the next thing, right? We will make all this clear. Before we go into talking about the kind of assets that we're going to look at, right? I mean, it's not just caveats. It's also to help them to understand our thought process on how we look at things. I think it's very important to know exactly, aside from our worldview of investing, it's also what is your risk appetite and also what is the current financial situation that you are in, right? Like those kind of stuff, right? So firstly, risk appetite. Are you a high risk or low risk person? How would you categorize yourself?
Right. We have numerous conversation of this topic.
Which until today we can't agree upon.
Because I would like to think myself as a high-risk investor, but on a bigger scheme of things, Peter would say that I'm actually a very low-risk investor. Okay, why high-risk and low-risk, this kind of contradiction is because, again, built on the point of what is all in. Okay, so investment. Okay, so number one, you have funds for protection, funds for expenses and all that. And then you have the remaining funds for investment. Even in investment, right, you would have segregated into a few portions. One is for children education, which you know, you cannot lose this amount of money because this is education fund. And then you also have your retire fund and so on and so forth, insurance and whatnot, right? And then the remaining amount, which is my millionaire fund. This is the fund that I can really go all out and be super high risk and do whatever I want. It can be even go to Genting Casino and just bet on blackjack. that kind of risk. So for that portion of money, I'm holding that kind of risk appetite. I can do whatever I want with that money. Mm. But in the whole scheme of things, I'm actually quite risk averse. Children education type fund cannot touch. I have to eat bread also, I cannot touch.
Mm.
And for the rest of the money, it's also the same. It's only that small little portion, I can say, okay, this stock I think can go. Today, I will sell all the stocks portfolio and go all in into that one stock.
Right. Yeah. So, and that's the reason why I think you're low risk actually. Because if you look at the grand scheme of things, in the overall finances wise, that actually just consists of a very small amount of your overall wealth portfolio.
Right? Put it that way.
I mean, think about it this way. If you have like 10 million ringgit, right? And you're only spending 500,000 and you say that, I'm very high risk. That's not high risk. It's just fun. It's just 5% of your overall investment, right? Yeah. Right. So in my opinion, that's not really a high risk kind of thing. But I guess it's open to interpretation, right? Yeah. For me, on the other hand, maybe because of my background, I come from a financial planning side. Mm. So I tend to look at it as a overall perspective. I would see property as part of my assets. I would see retirement as part of my asset. I would see my children education fund as part of my asset. So when I say high risk, I'm literally talking about the willingness to maybe invest 50% of more of your overall asset into something that has volatility. My overall net worth value is on things that has higher volatility. Yeah, that's what I mean by high risk.
Mm.
So regardless of whether is it Bitcoin or crypto.
To build on your point, because I'm the kind of person who, when I see money, my hands get itchy. So whenever I see money in the bank, I must find ways to dispense the money out into different kinds of
investments. You can give me
lah. No, cannot.
I don't mind.
The money has to still with my name, but I use it for something, right? Okay, so how I discipline myself is to put all those money that I know I cannot touch one into illiquid assets. So such as property, unit trust, you know, this kind of stuff where I know I cannot just sell and then tomorrow I get the money. I will not have access to the money immediately. And then the remaining liquid money, those are the money that when I see money, I cannot tahan. I will just find something to buy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's very much like you. Yeah. So that's the thing, right? When it comes to this part about risk, when it comes to what you see as high risk, low risk, and is it overall portfolio or is it one particular segment of your money only? Yeah, maybe you guys can let us know in the comment, right? What do you guys think? But on the other hand, for me, like I say, I'm much more of a wholesome perspective person. I like to see everything as in one thing. So I would say that for me, I'm actually pretty high risk in that perspective, right? And actually my risk level has already reduced quite a lot. I think maybe it's because I came from a background where money was a scarce thing. Family wasn't rich. So having that 100 ringgit doesn't really change my life kind of thing. I know I can earn back 100 ringgit just by working tomorrow, right? So if I were to put it into something that can compound it by like 100 times, you know, when at least I have a shot to do something. And that's why I chose to do business, right? I think in the early days when you know me, I worked for a while there. I came out and do insurance, then unit trust together, then subsequently started Mr. Money TV. And so a big part of my wealth is actually tied to business. And when it does well, I do very well, right? But when it doesn't do well, then I don't do very well, naturally. So a big part of my wealth itself is already in business. But as I grow older and having children and multiple lessons learned, I think I came to appreciate cash and be much more toned down in terms of
cash as in liquidity. You appreciate liquidity.
Yes. Because it's just like your situation, right? Like you will tell me, I just went all in. But tomorrow you're still okay, you know? Your children are going to go to school, you know? But I went all in, I got nothing after that, you know? Because my all in is really all in, you know? Yeah. And the only thing I'm depending is my next month's pay to make sure that I can cover, right?
Enough.
Yeah. So that's very much me in the past. But these days, no, I make sure I have like at least like 5 to 6 months of cash that can help me survive through whatever winter that I need to survive. And also because today, I think also nature of the business, right? In the past, I was an insurance agent and unit trust agent, financial planner. There's no overhead, ma. Yeah, there's no overhead. Today is very different.
Yeah.
Today is like,
Yeah, look at all the equipment,
all the equipment, electricity, utilities, the staff and everything. Every month, whether we like it or not, I got business, no business also, it's like...
Correct.
Yeah, it's like a huge amount going out, right? Mm. Yeah, it's a huge amount going out. Yeah. So I think that also taught me to be much more careful. Like I don't dare to over leverage. I don't dare to spend too much. Which you can see, like even in the business, I think I'm the one who sometimes will like look at the numbers and go like, you know what? Let's make sure we have this cash there. Yeah, that kind of thing, which helps me to become much more responsible. But on a personal wealth perspective, I think I'm starting to become a little bit more like you, right? As long as I have that EPF money, I have that 6 months, I have some other smaller funds that are building there.
Mm.
Now, my perspective is I know I can still get company dividend.
Mm.
So therefore, I know every year I still got a small windfall coming in.
Mm.
Then whatever excess I have...
All in. So you're turning into like me. Yeah.
So that aspect, I'm pretty much all in. Right? Yeah, that aspect, I'm pretty much all in.
Good.
So now we have established these two things. Let's talk about the next thing, right? Mm. Which is the comfort level and risk tolerance in terms of particular asset, right? I also want to remind everyone that I think risk is relative to knowledge, which one classic example is I remember when I first started working, which I always tell this story, right? I still remember you were a banker, the investment banker, and I came out and I started working and I met you for a cup of coffee in the Mamak. I still remember it was the Center Points banana leaf, right?
And
I
asked you very well.
Yeah, because that was life-changing moment for me, bro.
Really?
Yeah, because people have been telling me about the stock market at the time. And I felt that like, isn't stock market a gamble? Then I went and asked you this question. Isn't stock market like gambling? And this is what you said to me. Bro, buying a stock is owning a piece of a business. If buying a stock is gambling, isn't then therefore that all business are a gamble? That kind of changed my perspective a lot. Like, whoa, that's very true.
Yep.
If owning a piece of business is just owning a piece of business, but owning a business is not gamble. You wouldn't say someone starting a business is a gamble.
That is true. But if you don't know the business and you invest in a business, that's a gamble.
That is
a 50-50% chance. You either make it or you lose it.
That's right, yeah. But the truth is, in all business, you can only know 90% at most. And that's very, 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 very good already.
Very good already.
Most of the time, it's like 60-40, right? That kind of idea. So that gave me a perspective that, number one, we need to understand that every single investment comes with risk. Yeah. And if there's no risk, then the returns are going to be low. As simple as that. Or either there will be some sort of caveat, like EPF, very good returns, right? For like 5 to 6%. But your money is locked in, lah. That's all, lah. You're not going to have your money coming out. Lah.
Yeah. No, like, to be fair, EPF also guarantee you 2.5% return only. Ma. The rest of it is also subject to risk and the performance of the market. Yeah, so that is the risk that actually we are taking. It's just that EPF itself is a very efficient and effective fund management house. And year over year, they have been making a lot of money. So therefore, we get to enjoy the 5 to 6% return.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So now, the thing that I want to highlight here is that risk is relative to knowledge. Now, that was my first learning curve. And then after that, it became investing in stocks wasn't that risky anymore because I kind of understood how stock works, spent some time learning about it and stuff like that. I bet the first time you bought stocks, you were also damn scared, right?
Oh, damn scared. that's why my first stock was Axiata because I thought it was a very, very safe investment. Because mobile phone, you die, economy bad also, you still need to make phone call, right? So therefore, Axiata was the first safe choice that I made. My first ever stock that I bought.
Yes, I recall that time also you told me about Axiata. At least it was like 10 plus years.
10 plus years ago.
20 almost.
Yeah, today no more Axiata.
10 plus years ago, So it's safe to talk about particular stock name, right?
Yeah.
We'll try to avoid mentioning stock name nonetheless. But we'll try to talk more in terms of asset class. If you happen to get like an idea of what particular stock is, it's your own interpretation. It has nothing to do with us.
Correct.
Nothing to do with us.
Nonetheless, today you go to Busan, you type Axiata, there's no such thing anymore because Axiata doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, so we are very careful with this part because just to let you all know, currently there's regulation one.
Mm.
Yeah, we cannot simply say stuff one, by the way. Yeah, so my point is, we are not going to give any stock tips. I just want to highlight that again. This all can cause us to get into legal troubles.
Mm.
And that's why we spend a lot of emphasis on this. Yeah. But we decided that, so what? Let's try to just talk about this in the most honest way.
Mm.
But don't get ourselves into trouble.
Correct,
all right.
Correct.
So now, I think how I want this format to be today also is that as we actually have this conversation, you guys can type out what's your concern, your own situation, and you can let us know. Then we'll also try to answer, right? Mm. What?
Maybe we went through your situation before, then we can also share our experience.
That's right. Yeah. So I thought that would be good because the other day I put up a post on my social media on Mr. Money TV where I asked people about their net worth, everything. I got so many comments, people telling me exactly anonymously what they have, right? And like for example, this guy was telling me how much money he actually has, how much he makes, what should he do for his children's education. So I got to answer all this question and it just kept pouring in, right? Yeah. So maybe you guys, you can write down there in the comment as well. Tell us, yeah, if you are comfortable about it. Yeah. Tell us your net worth or tell us what do you think. Except stock tips, I think anything goes, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So now, let us talk about the next part, which is, I thought that after a while investing in stock, I thought, okay, you know, comfortable. Then the new creation came up, crypto. And I still recall crypto was another thing, right? Yeah, I remember when you first joined us, crypto was like a foreign land for you. I still remember.
Oh yeah, not just a foreign land, it's like a new way for scammers to make money.
Yeah, it was a gamble for you. I still recall you were like, no, it's going to die. It's not going to happen, right? It's impossible. And but I started investing in crypto during that time. I still recall when I first bought my first crypto was 15,000 USD.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin, 15,000 USD. Mm. And ever since then, I've been doing dollar cost averaging, right? Yeah. And nonetheless, I was just telling someone the other day that, you know, with my dollar cost averaging of crypto, right? Naturally, early days, I was much poorer. So I didn't have much fun. It was like 200, 100, 100. Like. Then as I got better, then it became a higher number.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I'm dollar cost averaging in the 1,000 range, right?
But
naturally, when it dropped, my value dropped because
correct.
My amount heavier at the top, right? When it was about 60, right? Then it dropped at about 15 that time. I was dollar cost averaging still. You remember that period?
Mm.
Yeah. I just checked back my portfolio. I'm making 30% gains, you know, now.
From the day you started until now, you make 30% gain.
Yeah. I'm making 30% gain because I did not miss out the 20,000 point. Remember 20,000 I was telling you already that I'm shifting all my assets to crypto.
Yeah.
Not all, but like a larger chunk of my asset to Bitcoin because I predict that the market will go up at the point.
Right.
Yeah.
The other reason why you are able to get that gain is because at 15,000, when you put in 500 ringgit, you're actually getting more Bitcoins.
Correct.
But when you go up higher, let's say 60,000, you put in 1,000, the 1,000 is going to get a lot lesser Bitcoin compared to your 500 ringgit.
That's right.
At 15,000.
That's right.
So when it drops, your damage is not so gao.
Yeah. So when it dropped that time, I actually lost about 70-80%, I still recall.
Mm.
By value, I lost about that. But I didn't bother, I just keep because for me, it's a long-term investment.
Correct.
Yeah. Then today it's up by 20-30%. Yeah.
Good.
Multiple accounts, so it's very hard for me to tabulate the exact gains, right? But generally it's there. So I'm very happy actually. I'm very happy. Yeah.
Well, look at his laugh, you know already.
Yeah. I very long never look at this and then get very happy. But anyway, kind of lost my train of thoughts a little bit. Got a little bit too happy. But okay. Let us now go into, if you have 100,000 today, right? What would you do?
Okay, today, specifically today, because now is towards the end of the year already and we are coming close to December. With 100,000 today, the first thing I would do is actually to invest in those stuff that you can claim tax first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
Things like PRS, things like your SSPN, like, is it called SSPN?
Yeah.
SSPN, things like that. Things that I can deduct tax first, because after December, then I need to start preparing for my tax filing already. So I better get all these things done now before the year end, so I don't miss it. Then probably that would take about, let's say, 10 to 20,000. So I got remaining 80,000 to play, ma. And then my usual investment style comes in ready. So I taken care of the basic things that I need to do ready. The remaining 80,000, or is just playing money for me. Then I'll just...
Okay, so this is assuming that, like we say, this 100,000 is just an extra money for you to invest.
Correct.
All basics taken care of, right?
Correct.
Yeah. You're not worried about children education. You're not worrying about retirement. You're not worried about anything. It's not the everything that you have.
Correct.
Right.
So the first portion would be to do all the tax planning and all that. And then the remaining of the money is up to me to go into whatever that I like. And then from there, then, you know, right now, these few days, the market is also pretty well, you know, US data is showing some sign of weakness, and weakness, bad is beautiful today in the US. So as long as they keep churning out bad economic data, I think that will help.
That will help
the stock market to fly quite a bit. So I think a big portion of it will go into US stocks, and then probably 1/3 of it goes to US stocks, and then another half of it will probably go into crypto. So as you can see today, crypto portion is actually higher than my stock portion, right? So
from a crypto non-believer to willing to put a lot more in crypto, okay?
Yes.
Fair.
And then the rest, that one is really the super high risk stuff. Like maybe I will go for some structured product options or whatever. But generally I would use that for super high risk. It's just for fun playing with the money.
Right.
So that's for me.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So before I go into detail of stuff, right? For me, if let's say this is an extra money, right? 100,000 extra, I can just, I have no worries about anything once again, right? I would at this point, 80% will go into crypto. 20% will go into US stock. Yeah, that'll be me. Yeah. Now, again,
that is super high risk, bro.
Y'all don't follow us at all. This is not investment advice. It's based on our own personal risk appetite.
Right.
Yeah, and you do notice that we said that there is no we are not looking at like bonds, you know, or safer stuff or money market fund, because we are saying that all those are taken care of. Later we are gonna switch the perspective around where this is all we have, then what we do.
Mm.
Right? So now let's just hold the horses there first. It's extra money perspective.
Mm.
Right. Why is it gonna be 80-20? 80 on crypto is when you look at the market right now. In my perspective, my personal outlook of the market is this: we have gone through about close to 2 years of market down, right? Yeah, Feds. There's a lot of news saying that things are very bad already. You know, they are like da da da, ya da da, and Feds already cannot tahan it because people are pressuring them to lower down the interest. And then with the war coming, you know, everything all, they need to be the tycoon in the world, give out money to Ukraine, everything all, when your own people are dying, and stuff like that, right? on the other hand also, economic data is showing slowdown. Now, there's a lot of question about it. Some are saying that like, it is not exactly true also, but they kind of selectively pick to curate it to look
good.
To look like that, right? Yeah, but never mind, doesn't matter. Beyond my pay grade, I'll go for that, right? But as economic data is showing a slowdown, then we are expecting them to be more relaxed on the Fed rate. And we all know this one thing. The Fed rates, they don't even need to start printing money. They just need to reduce interest itself. I think a lot of things will start moving, right? Yeah. At least investors will start positioning themselves for growth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when the positioning themselves for growth comes, then it's kind of like an arrow being strung up on a bowl and pulled to the back, right? That tension is starting to come already.
Yeah.
And we all know this one thing about every single thing in the market is the crash and the capitulation period or the consolidation period is usually very long and painful. But at the moment it shoots up, it only takes a few days. Right? Yeah, you never see the market slowly go up, like, unless you are look at a 20-year chart, right? If not, generally, the go up is usually very steep. So it is pretty much a timing kind of thing as well. Now, here, you're probably wondering, like, but you dollar cost average, right?
Mm.
Yeah, don't forget I dollar cost average.
From 15.
From the consolidation period itself.
Mm.
I don't like wait until it goes up. Only one shot I throw in everything. I've been like, you know, keep doing that. I think I'm good at that. Generally, my style and your style, you play more on timing. I play more on...
Play more on
these kind of things, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So when Tesla was bad, also my returns were still like 300% the time I still recall. Yeah, because 2 years, man, right? And someone asked my Bitcoin, 30% is for how long? 30% is...
2-3 years.
2-3 years. 2019, 2020 at that until now.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's about 2-3 years, 30%. Not great, but don't forget it's still at the low, it's not at the high. I mean, at one point it was way higher, lah.
Mm.
Now it's like lower, lah. And that's because of dollar cost average, lah. So I had one particular portfolio that it wasn't dollar cost average, right? No. I just put in the money there. Not no portfolio, a particular account that I put the money there. I didn't add new money anymore. Yeah. It went double.
This is when it was 15 or so? 15,000?
No, this particular account I opened in 2020 or 2021. Then I put a sum there. I did not touch it.
Right.
I just leave that fixed sum there.
Mm.
Yeah. And up to today is 100%. Yeah, 100% gain. Wow. And 2021. So it's only 1 year plus.
Mm.
So I think that will give me an accurate picture if I did not dollar cost average. Mm. Right.
Means if you time the thing correctly, you just put all in one shot today, you will have made 100% instead of
30%. 100%. Yeah, that one is 100%. Yeah. So again, what I did was during when the Bitcoin crashed, I started converting everything into Bitcoin. Right? You remember that phase, right? Mm. Yeah, so that's one, right? Now, what I want to say is that I think that there are a few events that I see it as a catalyst that is confirmed or very likely to happen, right? Number one, Fed lowering down the interest rate. That's number one. Now, but that's the stock market. And stock market is harder to predict. And there's too many factors involved.
Mm.
So harder. Now, so when I look at the crypto front, Bitcoin halving is confirmed.
Mm.
There's nothing that's going to stop Bitcoin from halving. It's a program thing, right? And naturally when it halves, supply is reduced, but demand is increasing. That one cannot change already because BlackRock, everyone is in, there are more and more bigger institutions in. If they don't make it, at least don't talk about gains also. They won't want to lose that money.
Mm.
That's the number one rule. They are not going to want to lose that money. Right? So demand is going to stay the same.
So demand same, lesser supply. So you're betting that it will go up.
So it's logical in my perspective that these are much more clearer signs. And therefore, 80-20.
Right.
That's my perspective to it.
Let me share a piece of new news to you, then maybe you'll change it to 90-10. So you know BlackRock already filed for a Bitcoin spot ETF, ma.
Okay.
Just last Thursday, they filed a second ETF. And this is an Ethereum spot ETF.
Mm.
Okay, right? So there are a few things here, you know. Number one, if you look at the track record of BlackRock filing their ETFs to the SEC, right? So far from 2014 onwards, they have filed about 575 ETFs. And out of the 575 filings, right, they only got rejected once.
Correct.
So this is number one. The second thing is, now they filed the Bitcoin spot ETF in June. This one haven't got approved yet. But even before the approval, they are falling for a second one already.
Yeah.
So that shows a bit of confidence that, hey, I know this is going to go through already, so let's not waste time. Let's do a second one now first so that, you know, when the timing is right, I'm already there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So maybe from that perspective, then you are even more confident. Change.
You know, Chainlink? I was talking about Chainlink, right? Yeah. Those who remember me talking about Chainlink, write link in the comment. So I've been talking about Chainlink for quite long right now, right? And I started investing in Chainlink when it was $4.
Mm.
$4. Today is 14.
Mm.
Yeah. So I didn't invest a lot, right? My theory is still Bitcoin for now, right? Chainlink also filed a Grayscale, filed a Chainlink Trust spot. Yeah. So that's the only way the institution can get in, ma. That's why they're doing it that way, ma. And they are charging an insane amount of premium, you know.
Mm.
From the spot price that we can get from market, it's insane amount of premium.
Mm, I can imagine. Because your custodian fee, la, this and correct. That, is going to be expensive.
And right, because of that, right, Chain Ninja shot up to 14, 15.
Wow.
Right? Mm. Yeah. So, okay, will this last forever? I do not know. I really do not know.
Mm.
Right? But there are a few things that, if you ask me, is there any crypto that I believe or I think that will do well? For me, it's just three that I have a lot more confident on. It's not because others are not good. It's just I invest a lot more time investing to research about it. So it gave me confidence. Bitcoin for one. Yeah. Yes, despite the fact that everyone will say that Bitcoin very slow. It's not going to give you that much of return. But I guess that's the part of me compared to the high risk people. I'm low risk. Yeah. Number two, Ethereum. Number three, Link. Now, so later we can, if you guys do not understand how these three works, maybe you can write down in the comment and say, explain it, right? Then we'll explain it. But these are three things that I'm pretty much confident on. And my personal thought is that I want to catch it before the halving. Right? I really want to catch it before the halving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because every time what we see is that 15 months before halving, Bitcoin price will go to the bottom, start surging up. And then when it hits halving time, it generally reaches about the all-time high of the previous cycle. Then it goes very high. Then the next time it's going to crash down to the last all-time high level. Yeah. So I would expect the next crash to be at about 60s.
That's so what it will go above, like let's say above 60, then if it crashes, it'll crash back to 60.
That's what I think, right? But yeah, luckily we could not. And please, this is not investment advice.
Correct.
Yeah, it's not investment advice. Or if you want to put it this way, I think Bitcoin is going to crash tomorrow. You want to cut, you cut this one. Don't cut anything else. Please don't buy Bitcoin. That'll be what you want to cut. But you get my point, right? So that's why I have that strong confidence towards it. Well, my idea is that it just need to go back up to 69, right?
You will double your money.
I'll double my money.
Double your money from here.
Correct, from here. From here. Yeah. So that's my logic. Yeah. So, and since it's extra money, and on the context of this is that we are running a business. So I'll be honest, as people who are running a business, 100,000, and our business is quite, I wouldn't say mature, we're a growing phase and we are a bit, but so 100,000 is not too hard to access for us, put it this way, right? So that's our risk appetite in that sense when we look at the things, right? So anything else you want to add on? Like why 80-20 for you then?
No, my is not 80-20.
Oh no, why you still put a lot more hope in US stocks when you also share the same opinion as me about cryptocurrency?
Maybe that's why you keep trying to convince me that I'm a low risk investor now. Now, the reason why I would still put 1/3 of the 100,000 into stocks, simply because, well, I've been looking at stocks throughout my entire career. So I know exactly how stocks works and I know how the value will come by for stocks. And I still see there are a lot of value in the US stock market today, even though today can be a little bit high. Right, but because I'm the kind of person who do not DCA and I'm the kind of investors who time the market, so it's pretty much, talking about the timing. And I think the timing right now, I'm slowly taking money out from the market actually, but that doesn't mean that taking out means that it is going to be put aside. Taking out money means that I'm looking for the next opportunity to go back in again, right? So when you talk about 1/3 of the money, it's money going in and out, in and out, in and out. For the half of the portion that's going into the crypto, while I also do not do DCA, my strategy is that, okay, so for Bitcoin specifically, I've actually only entered 2 times.
Oh, really?
Only 2 times. The first time was the time that I enlightened and said, you know.
Oh.
So that time was around close to 25 to 28,000 level. So that was the first time I went in. Subsequently, the next time I went in was also during this 26,000 time. So both of my time was 26,000.
Oh.
But then how do I continue to build on my position? is purely on mining.
Ah.
Purely on mining. So that's why my number of Bitcoin growth is so much slower than you. Because I only got 2 entry, and after that, it's just like, okay, 5% a year, you just add a little bit on top and a little bit on top. But now I'm trying to accelerate that position, but I think that it's a little bit late already because now it has gone up to 35,000. So I changed my strategy.
37.
37. Okay, so right now my strategy is this. Now, while Bitcoin is going up, Chainlink is going up, Ethereum is going up, a lot of altcoins is going to chase.
Mm.
So it triggered me to start to look at other altcoins who kind of maybe have some potential to run, but maybe it's not being picked up by the market yet. So what I'll do is to go into those altcoin and hope for it to outperform Bitcoin, so that I would use the altcoin to swap it back to Bitcoin.
Right,
so
right.
I would get a higher
amount. So you're willing to go into a casino and gamble it, see and it's going to make too much of a difference.
Yes, correct. Put it that way, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so far that strategy works.
Actually, there are some people who actually do that. I know quite a few people who actually invested a lot in Bitcoin. They made a lot of money. They took out a small portion. They start spreading it out into all coins.
Mm.
And then one hit 1,000 growth, settles, sao tong, close the thing, chao, chabut.
Yeah.
That's what they do, you know. But this one is gambling, lah.
Yeah, okay, this one is gambling.
This is gambling, this is not investing, huh? Yeah. This is gambling, all right? Yeah, so please don't do that, right? Yeah. Now, on the other hand, I just want to explain this one thing. Someone actually asked this. It seems like I'm the only one of the few people who are actually investing in Bursa. Okay, I still hold... we are talking about.
I still have some Bursa stocks also. It's just that because Bursa market.
I still have in the five figures, not the low five figure, but not the very high five figure amount in Bursa.
Oh, I only got 4 figure.
Oh, I still got 5 figure. So the scenario here we are talking about is a pseudo scenario. If I have extra 100,000,
correct.
It's not my overall portfolio. What will I do? Mm. Right, it is a pseudo extra money of 100,000, just to clarify that once again, right? Yeah, and so it's very much of a timing catching kind of thing. Yeah, so let's go back on with that. You were saying about, we're talking about gambling. So you are willing to put it into altcoins and in hope that one of those altcoins will actually blow up and helps you to catch up with your ownership of Bitcoin.
Yeah, so far this week especially, that strategy works out. But I know it is a super high risk kind of gamble. So I'm actually slowly taking out money also already.
Right. Yeah, so you guys are seeing a very different side of us today where usually we don't talk about seriously.
True.
Usually we don't want to tell y'all because we know that y'all eventually are going to pick up some stuff.
Frankie say one, Peter say one. Oh,
please don't. There's no specific coins that you should invest in. Please don't invest in anything. Yeah, keep your money in FD, okay? So, yeah. Now, that is one strategy that I think personally I won't go for. Yeah, the reason being is because for me here, when I look at, let's say Bitcoin, I still think the growth can be very significant. Right? And therefore, because of that, I think it's just like what you say, what you always tell me, right? You don't have to earn all the money in the world. If you can make 80%, 70% gains or 100% gain, good already. Very, very, very good already. What else you want to talk about some more? Yeah. So naturally, that is my perspective of it. I guess the reason why you put it like that is because you also have a very fixed amount that you set for crypto only. Correct. And you won't add new funds to it.
Correct. That's why I said I put in 2 times only.
Correct. Yeah. So you're not like me at that. I'm like, every month I got extra, I will actually start reinvesting.
Yeah,
I make it into a habitual saving. So over long run, I'm okay lah. Yeah, but when I'm in a bad position, when the market is down, I can stomach through lah. Yeah, he was way richer during that time lah, right? So it's just about your risk appetite also lah. Yeah, that's one thing. Now let's turn the situation around, right? If today you have nothing, zero. Let's say assuming that, again, this is not investment advice. If you fall in the same category, please do not use this as a template to do anything, all right? Let's say assuming you have nothing, you have no property, you have nothing. You're just a fresh grad coming out. Now you have 100,000. Mm. You're starting to think, okay, I have 100,000 right now. I have a decent salary. What am I going to do with this 100,000? And this very moment, with all the investment knowledge you have, what are you going to do?
I will repeat history again. Buy house. Because, because that was my first investment.
Okay.
So simply because, number one, we all know that property is a hedge to inflation. And we all know that inflation every year is going up one. Which means to say, theoretically speaking, a price of a house tomorrow will almost definitely be more expensive than today. So while I can do it today, let me lock down the price first because I don't want it to be more expensive tomorrow or the day after. So once I lock down the price, all I need to make sure is for the next 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, I just need to make sure that my salary or my earnings from whatever that I do is able to cover the mortgage payment in the event if I cannot get a tenant. If I can get a tenant, even better. It is self-sustaining by itself. But if it cannot, then at least I can make the amount of money to actually pay the mortgage myself. So that would be definitely my first choice of investment if I have nothing today.
All right. So assuming, so there's two questions I have for you.
Right.
Number one is, do you mean by 0% down payment or you need to put in a down payment?
No, like I got 100,000, so at least I can buy a 500,000 house.
So you have to fuck out about 500,000 house, but 80,000 up front.
With
legal fee.
Enough?
So you're only left with 20,000 after
that. I will go all in one property, enough, right?
Enough, right? Then you're left with only 20,000. Then what are you going
to
do with the 20,000?
No, you still need to furnish the house, make it nice, and then you rent it out to people. So the 100,000 would have all gone already.
So
finished.
The only thing you buy one house. But you know that crypto is coming to halving. You know about stock market and everything.
Why won't you invest? Because all I have is that 100,000.
See, this is where I say that suddenly it's very low risk.
Yeah.
While he said that he'll gamble everything off, I won't even go into buying altcoins. He will. But suddenly now, he just went a total low risk, right?
Because the situation is different now.
Why is it so? Even and with the exact investment knowledge that you have, you know the Fed rate, blah, 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 all those. No.
It's the risk that I have to take when I have nothing versus the risk that I have to take when I have all this position in place already.
Right. So at least you secure first.
Correct.
Because no matter what happened, I still got a house.
Correct. So remember those times you come and say, hey, you know that guy, I buy this stock, one week double and all those things. And my reaction is always, yeah, very good. Good job. But do I get jealous with him? No, because that is his choice. That is his appetite of risk. And I'm not in the position to make that kind of investment. So good for him, but I stick to my plan because I think my plan is going to work out for me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. So this is you.
Yes.
Right. So you won't do anything already.
I won't do anything.
So just buy one house.
If I only have 100,000, just buy one house.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. For me, it will be very different.
Yeah. Or in crypto, 100%.
If I am me today,
yeah.
No, the first thing I'll do, I'll still buy a house.
But then no more money, really.
I will do markup.
So you'll start to do all the creative stuff.
Number one, I will do a markup. I will try my very best to buy a house with no down payment.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, so I still need to fork out probably 20,000, 30,000 for legal fee, something like that. So I still have 70K. Right? Now, ideally, I can market higher. Now, this is assuming my income is strong. Assuming I'm making about 20,000 a month. Okay? That's the kind of thing. Or at least 15,000. With very little commitment. Okay? That's the idea. Yeah? Not married, nothing. Okay? Stay with my mother. Okay? Lifestyle can keep to minimal. Okay? Why? Because number one, I can use my income to pay for the house after that.
Correct.
Ideally, I rent it out. Then the house is self-paid.
Correct.
So I just use 30K to actually control a 500,000 asset. And self-paid by my, tenant. I may locate another 20K just so that if anything happens, I can take care of the house. So now half gone, right? Yeah. The other half, what am I going to do is...
buy Bitcoin.
I'm going to split it out into multiple phases. Yeah. I'm going to set up at least into 5 phases. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, 5 phases.
Yeah.
So let's say 50,000, each phase 10K, right? So I will decide... Every 2 months, I'm going to dispense 10K. Every 2 months, I dispense 10K.
Do what?
to invest into cryptocurrency like in my perspective I'm gonna buy more crypto and US stock market.
Mm.
That's because I'm very high risk. By now you can see I'm actually high risk.
Mm.
Like my risk level is consistently high, right? Yeah. So, but it's not super high because my plan is still to dollar cost average it.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, I know some people are like, why not you just go all in? Answer, I don't have enough balls. Simple as that.
Mm.
I'm still scared, right? Yeah. So I'd rather do that, okay? And because that's all that I have,
mm.
then naturally, okay, I got my 20K emergency fund there, assuming it's called emergency fund. I have another 50K for me to just slowly put it out there. So I may also put it some into stocks, right? Let's say I allocate maybe 10%.
Mm.
So that's 40% divided by five phases, whatever it is. But my point is that that's what am I going to do. I'm not going to go all in one shot at one price point. I'm going to divide it out.
Mm. Yeah.
So that will be my perspective of how I will go in.
Mm.
Yeah. And so, then every month I still got, because if my house rented out, every month I still got funds. Right?
Correct.
I'm going to continuously invest. So now I got extra again to just keep topping up. Right?
Okay.
That will be how I play. Yeah.
So again, liquidity is very important to you. Because the things that you say are all very liquid. Things that you can just sell and get back your money within 2 days.
With my knowledge and experience right now, yes.
Mm.
Okay. Why is it so? It's because I did exactly that where I straight away buy a couple of houses and they all are being paid for. Right? And what I've learned along the way was with a lot of liquidity being held up, you tend to miss out a lot of good opportunity.
Mm.
Yeah.
And, yes, that is true.
And that's for me.
That is true.
Right? That's for me. Like I didn't have the courage to invest in certain business or whatnot.
Mm.
Yeah. And especially, you know me, I go all into business. Mm. I'm not like, I can't work for people, I'll put it this way.
Mm.
Yeah. So it is live to fight another day, you know, almost.
Right.
Yeah. So that's very much my perspective on how I will do things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, liquidity is secondary, but the accounting gains is more important to me. Yeah. Mm. So like, for example, if I just have to make one investment, it will be the house, man. All 100,000 into the house. But what happened is that you are using 100,000 to buy an asset which is 500,000. So accounting looks very beautiful. Immediately, I have 400,000 gain, right? So that is accounting gain, but I will not have liquidity. In fact, I would just put myself into a situation where I have 400,000 of debts.
Mm.
Yeah. So I guess that's the difference. So to me, liquidity will come eventually because to make money is all about time. As time progresses, the money will come.
Mm.
Yeah, but more importantly is to position yourself to be ready for the time when you reach there. Yeah, so that is my approach in my overall wealth, I suppose. Mm. Wealth planning, yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, it's a bit less like that because it is more about like, because I've been doing business since start. So there is no such thing as a career progression for me to like slowly move up and be ahead, right?
Mm.
It is either I work on it or either I don't.
Mm.
So then the issue comes by where like you need to learn how to seize opportunities.
Mm.
Yeah. So therefore there is this sense of like, okay.
Urgency
to get things done, to position yourself in the right place, right time so that you can get things happening, right? Mm. But do I want to secure my base? And that's where I'm willing to do like, you know, put aside 30K to have that property, mark up a bit, you know, stuff like that. And I can pay it through my salary on a monthly basis, get a tenant, you know, stuff like that. So that will be very much my kind of way. So that if, let's say, if all else fails after 10 years, the property is already significantly paid up off, right? I still have an access to refinance the property to gain another amount of capital to fight another day, right? Yeah. Now, but if let's say business is doing well, then the situation changes, right? But if business is not doing well, it's okay. that's where my next pool of capital will come by. And that's why, to a certain extent, as much as I don't talk so much about property to a certain extent, but I enjoy investing in property.
Yeah. Investing in property is very fun.
Correct.
You get to go and see houses.
Correct.
You know, you got to find a place that you like.
Correct. Yeah. And but for me, investing in property is kind of like, it's not the one all be all solution.
Yeah.
It is because the game of leverage in property is too high. It's too high that, in my opinion, it kind of gets you stuck at somewhere unless you are... I mean, in my opinion, it's a bit of a... It's not the end-all be-all. Yeah, it will help you to be rich, but it won't help you to be very, very rich. And ultimately, when you are rich, you may not be exactly that rich because it's just beating inflation.
Yeah, there are also a lot of creative ways to help you to play with the mathematics stuff.
We don't go into that too much.
But I did make one video specifically on how you can reduce your property loan faster than usual. So you can go to the FAQ show and check out that video.
Yeah, but I think if you're a lazy person and you want to be rich, I think property is a very easy way. I really think property is a very easy way to be rich.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because of the leverage.
Yeah.
You can borrow 90% of the money.
Correct. Even if you're not smart, right? You are at least forced safe into something. And if you have a tenant, someone pay for you. It's like you and your mother make a deal. You save $1, I put in $9 for you. Okay, what? That's a good deal, what? Yeah, that's what you do for your kid, right? You save $2, I save $8 for you. Right? So it's like having a mother. Right? So not bad. It's a good choice.
A yeah.
But maybe for me, is that I'm just very much a very aggressive person that wants to fly higher, right? Yeah. On the other hand, that is if let's say we just have 100,000 that's what I would do is like say, put in some into property, remaining I'm going to go DCAing into crypto at this point, simply because what I see. But again, like we say, don't go invest. Yeah. Now, I think we're going to open up the floor to some Q&A. Yeah, whatever question you want to ask, feel free to ask it and we'll try our very best to answer, right? Again, none of this construes as investment advice. It's purely going to be just a simple discussion, our thoughts about it. And yeah, we'll try our very best to make it. Yeah. Anyway, the next part is this. Someone actually asked EPF. What about EPF? I want to tell you all something, right? I think EPF is also a very fantastic tool. Very, very fantastic tool. Do you all know that if you have more than R1 million in EPF, anything above 1 million, you can withdraw anytime without any condition? Yeah. So the minimum amount you need to have in EPF is actually just
1 million.
And you know what's the best part?
What?
EPF returns are very good. And your money is there, it won't go missing. Even a bank can only give you 250,000 PIDM assurance. You get my point? It is kind of like EPF is your preferred account, right? You know, suddenly. Does it make sense?
Put it this way, EPF is the world's sixth largest pension fund. It's not even Southeast Asia, Asia or wherever. It's the world's number six pension fund. So EPF is such a huge giant that I think when they make investment, right, there are a lot of smart people inside to make all the right decisions to help your funds to grow. Put it that way.
Yeah. So that would be something. I think that EPF is a very, very fun place to put your money in. If let's say, you're lazy, you don't need preferred account services. Maybe some of our bank clients will make noise if you say that. but that's the truth, right? Yeah. Anyway, this is not a sponsored episode, so I don't really care. Yeah. So my point is that, I would put it there. You know, if I have really a lot of money, right? I have that kind of like excess of money. Why not, right? Yeah. Now, next thing, there are some questions here. Malaysia property investment need connection. High rise must join rich group to buy cheap. Not a good investment. In a way, they are...
But today, less and less of that already, right? Today, there are a few new launches that I went, right? It's like...
Correct. I I don't think you must join a property group, but property groups, some of them do give you good deal. But you think about it this way, right? If the property is very good and can sell themselves,
correct.
They don't need to give you a bulk discount. Yeah.
Right.
So that's also another thing, right? Mm. So, but again, agree to disagree. Everyone have their own thing, right? Next question here. Luno can pakai. Okay. I use Luno to buy my cryptocurrency. I'll just put it up front. Not because they are cheap or anything. It's because of one very simple rule. Regulated. I don't need to worry suddenly it's going to close or whatnot. They are regulated. Therefore, I feel my money is safe. I'm already taking a lot of risk by buying crypto. I'll put it this way. So I don't mind paying a little bit of premium just to feel a little bit safe. Right? That's my personal perspective of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, Webull. How? People are asking you.
Okay. So for us Malaysian, in order to open a Webull account, I understand that it's a little bit troublesome because this is a Singapore regulated platform. It is not a Malaysian regulated platform. So everything is transacted in Sing Dollar and whatnot. So to open an account and to fund the account, you have to do a TT transfer from your bank to the Webull account, and then you need to notify them that, hey, I've already deposited money into the trading account.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more troublesome. Unless you have a Singapore bank account, then it's a lot easier. You just need to link your Singapore bank account to the trading account, then everything works already. But since we're in the topic on Webull, they have extended the offer of depositing any amount of money and you can get 5 free shares, and you just need to maintain your account for the next 30 days, they will give you another 5 free shares, and all in together, the worth of the shares can go up to $5,000.
Yeah. So we are probably going to do a video about how you can do it, right? Now, next question here. Should you sell or should you average down on the stock? What's your position on this? I know we both have different answers.
Yeah, depending on what is the outlook of the stock. If it is a shit stock, then please cut. Please,
Yeah,
don't
true.
Go and average down already. But
that's
if true. You think that this company has prospect to actually grow further, it's just that right now, the market sentiment is bad. People feel that they should risk off a little bit. Then that could be an opportunity for you to top up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still recall when people are punting stock like crazy, right? They went into some crazy, stupid stock, right? And then after when the market went down, right? You know what their logic is?
It will come back up again.
No, they say, if I don't sell that, I never lose. It's just paper loss, man. But if I sell it, I really lose. I'm like, bro, the company is a shit company, bro. It will never.
Yeah.
I mean, if it goes up, it's because there's another goring. Why don't you take this money, you put it into something else that is good. Then at least it grows together, right? Yeah. Then your portfolio can be safe when the market goes up.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's my opinion of it at that point. Yeah. And so I will only average down if the stock is a good stock. If it's a bad stock, I won't. Joyce Tan asks, is Bursa a bad thing to invest in? No. I think Bursa is a fantastic thing to invest in.
Correct. That's where EPF get your 6% return every year.
Yeah. In fact, like I say, I still have a good amount in my Bursa portfolio.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still have a good amount in Bursa portfolio. It's just that I don't actively trade and I'm not like, it's not bad. It's just, there's
okay,
not,
okay.
No, it's just, I got other things that I'm more interested in at this point. That's all.
Correct.
But I still keep my portfolio there.
Okay. Put it this way, right? US market is a very interesting market and there are always stories on the US side. While Malaysia is more safer, it is more, in their own circle so that it is sort of like a protected little child kind of stock market. So as a media company like Mr. Money TV, right? If I every day tell you, oh, we are living in a small, tiny, little protected garden, you know, the flower is growing very well and like that, it's going to be boring. It's going to have very little things to talk about. So while Bursa stocks takes care of itself, then we move our content more towards something more interesting.
Yep.
So that you guys can also pick up a lot more information and appreciate that, oh, when a company does well, this is what is going to happen to the stock.
Correct.
Then from there, you can apply it back to Bursa stocks and see how you want to use that strategy from US to apply it back to Malaysia.
Correct. Yeah. And also at the same time, if you look at the global stock market, it's all linked together.
Correct.
Because it's all businesses and they do business with each other and that's how it works.
Mm.
So let me give you an example, right? If let's say there is, let's say in US, there's Apple. There's a Malaysia company who produce parts for Apple, right? Now, if you look at the stock market, very simple. If Apple stock go up and their business get better, then only they are going to order more parts. Then only Malaysia, the business will get better. So now, we all know that the market is down, right? What is the first country that will go up first? Naturally, it will be the USA. I need more Apple phones, therefore I need more parts. So who is going to be the first one to go up first there? After they go up, then only he'll go up. Very normal. You see, the whole market is always like that, right? Yesterday, US announced bad news. Malaysia market down this morning. It's all led by the US. All
right.
Yeah, so now you're at the downward cycle. Naturally, the first big boom will be there before it's here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why for us, to a certain extent, we always say this thing. We don't fall in love with the investment. You just follow the money. You follow the logic. You follow the fundamentals. Now, does it mean that tomorrow you take out everything from Bursa and go and invest in US? No, it doesn't make sense. If let's say your investment in Malaysia is already pretty good, you know that this company is good and you are trying to average it up or something like that, or average it down, then you stay invested with your strategy. Yeah. So we are just saying that right now the hot topic is US and crypto.
Yeah. It's just a hot topic.
It doesn't involve your strategy on how you should be investing.
Yeah, put it in a different perspective, right? If you are so well versed in Malaysia market and you have been investing so long in it and you can make, let's say, for example, 10% a year versus you know a little bit only about the US market and you try to invest in it, you can also roughly make 10% a year. Now, then the question would be, which one is a better investment? Is it the Malaysian stock market or the US stock market? The answer is, it's the same. Because no matter where you go, you are still getting roughly 10%. So if that is the case, then why go and trouble yourself to stay up late at night, to go through that 2 a.m., 3 a.m. to go and chase that US economic news, where you can just leisurely wake up at 9 o'clock, Bursa Malaysia time, and to look at the stocks that you're super familiar with and make the same amount of gain. Wouldn't that life be more so much easier that way?
Right. Now, let's move on to the next thing. The next question is 10,000 enough for someone to get married? I think it's XCJ's. Would you consider 10,000 as a reserve sufficient for a single unmarried person? What do you think? Do you think it's enough?
10,000 for single unmarried person, depending on how you spend the money also. If you're a big spender, I think no matter how much money, also not enough. But I think for a normal person, 10,000 should be quite comfortable for a single person living in Malaysia.
I think if you're just starting out, yeah, I think it's okay. When I first started, I don't even have 10K.
I also don't have.
Yeah. Now, next thing. Should you invest or pay off your mortgage?
Well, investing in property, because you get to leverage up to 90,000, meaning you use other people's money to fund your investment. So that's a great thing, right? So why do you want to pay off that money? And
yeah, especially if I have a... For me, my personal logic is that if I have a tenant, I won't...
Correct, especially if you have a tenant. Yeah. No need to pay off so fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Multiple cheaper house or an expensive property like Bond Kiara? Depend on risk appetite. I would say depend on your risk appetite. If it is not a problem for you to fork out the money, cash flow is not an issue, then you want to ask yourself the next question. Does it give you the kind of a capital, potential capital return? That would be the next question that you have to ask. Yeah.
And the hassle of having to manage one asset only compared to multiple assets all at the same time.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Right. Now, we also got some funny comments today. But never mind. Let's just leave it. Okay. Let's see. Why do you talk so much about sugar baby? Sugar baby is the best investment. I don't know lah. That one nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think is there any foreign currency investment? Some people are asking. US GBP and AUD is giving high interest rate right now. What do you think? Do you think you should actually do it?
Well, the reason why they're giving high interest rate is because the Fed is increasing the interest rate, ma. But just now, Peter has already said that he expects the Fed to actually start to lower the interest rate. What is going to happen when the Fed do that is your FD in US dollar and whatnot currency is going to come down. Then by the time, then do you tell yourself to actually switch to another currency or you just stay with it and live with that low interest rate?
Yeah. Okay. OnlyFans is the best investment. I have to say, actually, if you get to buy OnlyFans as a platform, yes, the returns are very, very good. I've seen their financials. Crazy. Like, crazy. But never mind. That's the halal. So it's non-Sharia investment, okay? Yeah. Is RumaWeb a good investment? No. Please don't go invest in RumaWeb. It's not for investment. It's for people to stay. It's for poor people. It's for people who are B40 who need a house and government is putting in effort to give people a home. If you go and buy and invest, then don't. Now, if let's say there is another contractor or another developer who decided to build a similar range car property with that kind of price and it's open for everyone with no regulations, that's another story. But if it's a rumor whip, there is a rumor whip, right? It's kind of like roti canai is a cheap food. They did not say that this is a roti canai for poor people. They just say it's roti canai, right? It's 80 cent or no, 150. Then you go and eat, there's nothing wrong. A rich man also can eat chap fan, true or not? Right? It just depends on your taste, right? But if it specifically say this chap fan is for charity, that's why you only pay 1 ringgit, bro, don't go and do this kind of thing, you know? Yeah, it's really not good. Yeah, not good. Yeah. Okay, how much of monthly salary should be used for investment? That's a very good one. What do you think? How much is a good monthly income to be used for investment?
Well, I think it depends on how much you make first. That's very important because how much you make will determine how much you are going to spend. I mean, you as a person, you need to eat 3 meals a day. Let's say for example.
Yeah, basic lah. Like 3,000, your disposal is sure a lot more lower. But if you have 10K, your basic maybe it's only 10%. It's only 3,000. It's only a small amount, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But if let's say your salary is low, then...
Yeah. So for a low income earner, your expenses percentage of your salary will be high. So in that situation, the amount that you can invest obviously will become very low. But the point here is, even though it is low, you should also still invest because investment is all about accumulation of wealth. Over time, this small amount is going to become big. Small knife can cut big tree. But if you're already earning like 10,000, 20,000 a month, then congratulations. Because the amount of expenses that you're going to spend on your basic items is also going to be roughly the same. So you will have a lot more leeway to play in terms of how much money you can put into investment. Then you can also be a little bit more creative in terms of whether I can go to cryptocurrency, whether I can buy property. So your options is a lot wider. But that will not change the fact that you need to invest more or less because that still comes down to what kind of risk appetite that you have.
Okay, so for me personally, I have a measure, right?
Yeah,
because that's pretty much fall in my topic of content. Okay, the idea is that in order for you to retire comfortably one day, you should be able to save up 30% of your income every month. Now, EPF and self-contribution makes up about 23%. So you only need to save up about 7% extra every month, right? So that's the bare minimum that you should be doing in order for you to have a slightly more comfortable life in future, right? Now, move on. If you have excess funds, right? Let's say you're earning 5,000 ringgit, your lifestyle, put it this way, if your necessity is only 50% of your income or even lesser, then I think you should be able to save at least 20%. Yeah. So how does that work? 7% should be something for retirement, long term. The other 13% will be whatever that you have in mind. Whether is it to save up for 5 years so that you can buy a house, whether is it my millionaire fund, whether is it what? You gotta ask yourself, right? Mm. Now, ultimately for me, it is always gonna be a millionaire fund. To buy a house, I'll carve out another 10%. I'd rather eat less. That's me right now, right? Yeah. So my way of living right now pretty much is my maintenance remain, my lifestyle remains pretty much the same. It inflates, but very little. I don't buy branded. I drive a local car so that I have a lot more extra cash for me to actually invest.
Mm.
Yeah. Or save up for other things. That's my style. Yeah. So I think we'll pick up one last question and then let's call it a night, man.
Okay. Oh, this one question specifically for me. Frankie, are you still holding your Palantir? What's your take on the stock moving forward? Okay. Palantir just announced their third quarter result recently, I think 1 or 2 weeks back ago. And again, the result was fantastic. It beat market expectation and all that. Now, I always tell people who ask me about Palantir this. Now, Palantir is in the business of analyzing big data. And all these listed companies, what they usually do is that every time when they announce their quarterly earnings, they will also give you a guidance of what they think the next quarter result is going to look like. Now, if a company that analyzes big data can miss on their guidance on their next quarter result, what kind of confidence are they giving to their customers where they give Palantir all their company information and hoping Palantir to tell them what is the analysis that they could use to actually make their business operation more efficient, right? So my bet here is that the company guidance on their quarterly earnings should be fairly accurate. And based on that, then I have formed a base for me to start my research to see whether they're going to get new customers, whether they are going into new projects and things like that. Now, do I still own Palantir today? Yes, I still own Palantir today, but please don't ask me how many shares I have, because if you ask me 3 hours ago and 48 hours later, the number can be very different.
Correct.
Can be very different.
And even the amount that you bought at,
the amount I bought totally can be different. Totally different. But on a general comment is that yes, I still have Palantir.
Yeah. But again, it's not a stock recommendation.
Yes, it's not a stock recommendation.
Yeah. So please don't go and buy.
Yeah. It's just you ask me a question and I tell you.
Now, I think to end this, there's one more question that I think is worth answering.
Mm.
And then we're going to call it a night, which is, what do you think about commodity? Commodity investment
is very risky, because commodity investment depends a lot on a lot of factors, not just economic factors, but the industry factors as well. So like for example, oil and gas. Yes, if the economy is doing well, then the demand for oil and gas is going to increase and therefore oil prices is going to go up. But at the same time, you also need to take into account things like, let's say, Malaysia found a new oil field and therefore we have more supply of oil coming. Then suddenly, even though your economy is good, right? But there's a chance that the oil price can go down some more. Yeah, so it's very hard to predict in that sense.
Right. So my opinion on commodity for normal investor is don't touch.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Because it's very sophisticated.
Correct. Because... it's too sophisticated.
Yeah,
there's too many factors. And you must understand that when it comes to commodity investing, you shouldn't be investing in it unless you have a business in it.
Mm.
What do I mean by that is that unless you are a sugar trader, unless you are a palm oil business guy and you're stocking up palm oil, then play villa, right? Mm. Because you need it to hedge, right?
Correct.
But if not, I don't think anyone should touch. And I think that if you really, really want to go into it as a hedge for your value or your wealth, do it via a unit trust or whatnot. A proper fund manager.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's just too risky. Yeah, that's my opinion. This includes Forex as well.
Mm.
Yeah. Because you must understand, right? even when you come to Forex, right, the margins are too thin on a daily basis. So the only reason people can make so much money off Forex, right, is leverage.
Correct.
It's leverage. They leverage like crazy amount of money just to do it, and they do very, very quick and fast trades. So it is too sophisticated also. My opinion, most of the Forex trade that you see in the market today that tells you they can give you 5% a month, that kind of stuff, I'm not a big fan of that. Yeah, I will just put it up there that most of it that I've heard end up to be money game and scam. Most of it. Okay? In my opinion, is because why most is because I haven't seen one that's not. So yes, if you think that yours is, congratulations. Yeah, I hope yours is. But so far, I haven't seen. So maybe I've not heard of yours. Okay, so don't get angry and offended or whatever. Not. Maybe it's good. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. I think that's all about it. So this is how we will actually invest with 100,000. We hope you guys enjoyed tonight's session. If you like it, do us a favor, go to The Real Money Show or Mr. Money TV, hit the like and subscribe button. Just follow, sorry.
Yeah, just follow.
That's Spotify,
you.
Right? Yeah. And Apple Podcasts. And number two, now if you want to check out much more about investment literacy, stock market updates and news and so on, go and check out the FAQ show. Yeah, where Frankie is the main host there.
Yeah, and if you prefer to read and not so much on watching, you can also sign up to our newsletter every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Both of us will write something and send it right to your email.
Oh yeah, and one more thing. If you are the kind of person who actually wants to stay updated to economic news, world news and what's going on so that it can help you to improve with your investment knowledge and financial knowledge as well, go and check out the Coffee Break newsletter. It is a daily newsletter that summarizes everything that you need to know in just 3 minutes. Yeah. So that's all about it. Thank you very much for joining us. We will see you guys. Good night.
Bye.